Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Truth be told for the saving of souls.
We have been studying this idea of the kingdom and living out of the kingdom. Jesus said the kingdom of God is not over here or there or there, it's within you. So God wants us to live out of that kingdom. And that's why Jesus showed up on the planet. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he was coming with this new way of governing. And this idea that living under this in this kingdom is really why he came. To advance that kingdom. And that's what we're doing now. That's why he taught the disciples, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that's the idea. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that's what he wants us to do, live out of that kingdom. You know what? A lot of people think that he taught that prayer to everybody says that together and rote. No, that's how to pray. That's what he's doing there. He's teaching you how to pray. Our Father, you're honoring him, you're worshiping him. Our Father, who art in heaven, that's how will it be thy name? Lifting up that name, not our Father who art in heaven, not it's really how to pray. Making sense? It's not just something everybody says rotely, because you can say it rotely and it doesn't have any weight or value in it, but it really has power when you understand it. And so God wants us to advance his kingdom, and that's and he wants you and I to bring it here on earth. Wherever we go, we're carrying it because it's in us. Amen. If you're a born again child of God, you got to be born again, right? So that's the important part of it. So we've been talking about that and this idea of having a king, and we are going to get started because I've got a lot to share with you today. Let's go to our vision, but now think about this. I'm thinking. So here, you know, I've been having people talk about, I've had some people ask me, what does double-minded all about? What's double-minded mean? And that's something we got to understand too, is that we're to not be double-minded. And so it's like when somebody, I've seen people come to Christ and become born again, and then their spouse isn't born again yet. Well, then they get impatient with their spouse. You see that? They lived, in rebellion and against God and all that, all those years. And now when they come to Christ, they're born again. Now they want their spouse to come up right where they're at already. And they get impatient waiting for their spouse to get there. We see that's not healthy either. We got to learn that we're going to go, it takes time for people to come. You see sometimes, and that's the idea. We don't want to be impatient waiting for them to come to Christ. We want to keep serving them and demonstrating Christ to them. You see that? Do you see that? Because if you don't, you'll be miserable as a believer. And then now you become double-minded. And then now we're going to talk about that today. So let's go to the vision. And then we're going to go to our 1 Kings passage and read that together. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers, endeavoring the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. And that's not rote either. That's, if we understand our vision, boy, that'll change your life right there. When I wake up, that comes on my mind right now, every day. That's what I live for. I'm out to serve this vision. See, if you have a vision, you got focus. If you have a vision, you can see where you're going. See, if you can't see where you're going, you're in the dark. We all need a vision. Amen? Where there's no vision, there's no provision. Did you catch that? Where there's no vision, there's no provision. We all need provision. And God provides where there's vision. You see that? When you have his vision, he's bound to his word to provide for his vision. I mean, amen? And we have to remind him of that. We have to decree and declare his word over us and over our lives and over each other. And that's what God says about the situation. We don't declare the problem. We declare what God says about it. The Bible says in Romans that even God calls things that aren't as though they are. See, that's the way we're supposed to be. We don't just call out, well, this problem. See, when you go around talking about the problem all the time, you make the problem bigger than his solution. But when you go and you start to say, no, my God is able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think. You start to declare that over your circumstances start to change. You see that? But you start complaining about the problem, now you're making the problem bigger than what he has as a solution. And that's why complaining in God's kingdom won't work. It just won't work. Complain. Remember the word complain? C-O-M, com, means to blame. That's the Greek word. It means to blame. Plain, second, it's a compound word. Plain means lot in life. When you complain, you're actually complaining against God and against others. You're blaming God and others for the way where you are in life. You're not taking the responsibility. You see that? You're not taking the responsibility. That's why how we respond is so important to God. Because he knows if you're responding his way, he's bound to make it that way. You see that? He's bound to that. He cannot. He has to do it. Am I making sense? Because he can't go against his word. It's already fixed. Oh, I'm preaching good already.
Hallelujah.
So, that's why complaining. Remember, we talked about that last week, how God sent fiery snakes to bite the people for complaining because they complained against Moses and they complained against God. See, they were getting impatient for the promise to be fulfilled that God had for them. See, that's where we mess up sometimes. We get impatient and we want to start complaining. But if you hold it, you keep it in, you trust God, and you start speaking God's decree over it, that's what brings the change. Amen. You see that? God will change those things. And you know what? Sometimes he doesn't change those things. He changes you. Sometimes you're the one that needs to change. Now somebody's preaching real good. You see that? All right. Oh, we didn't read our verse, did we? All right, let's look at this. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. See, Elijah was calling the people to get out of their double-mindedness, out of their instability, and say, make your mind up. Follow God. If God's God, follow him. If you want to follow Baal, you're going to follow him, but you're going to get his fruit and his misery. Because Baal was a false god. Baal was a mean god. Killing babies and doing all this stuff. Sacrificing children and all kinds of stuff. Am I making sense? We want to follow God. Amen? He's our Lord. And that's what we're talking about, lordship today. In a kingdom, we have a Lord, and that's the one we're following. If he's in you, you're born again, he has your answer and your solution. Now, we have a king, and last week we talked about how a king is the owner of everything. Where a king is, he's in his kingdom, he owns everything. And that's, Jesus is our king, he owns everything. Make sense? So actually, what we have has just been entrusted to us. So God wants you to steward all you have in a way that honors him. And the more and the better way we steward our lives, the more he can entrust you with. Did you see that? The more he can trust you with. And that's what he's doing. He's testing us to see how well we can steward what he's given us, what he's allowing us to use right now. Amen? Amen. So am I making sense? So he wants us to take care of our stuff. He wants us to take care of our moods, our relationships, our responses, our spouses, our children. He wants us, he's seeing how you're going to respond and steward your life. Now, one of the things that is really big in the kingdom is giving. Giving. So giving, God is a very generous God, and he is a giver. And he likes us to be generous. I know when I'm being generous, it feels good. I love to be generous and kind to others. I love to help people. When you're helping people, it just, I don't know, it just makes you feel good. Right? All right, so I wrote some stuff down. I want to read it, and then I'm going to get into some preaching. So just kind of hang with me here. So giving to a king, okay, and his kingdom, that's why we have tithing, and that's why we give our worship to him. We give honor to him. We want to give everything to him because he's our God. He created us. He's not just a resource. He is our source. See that? He's our source, not just a resource. Now watch. Giving to a king acknowledges his ownership. His ownership of everything. Remember, the king owns everything in his domain. The word domain in Hebrew literally means lordship. Lordship. Now, so giving to a king is simply returning to him what is already his. You see that? So when we give to the king, we're returning to him what is already his. That's why in the kingdom of heaven, we are always stewards and never owners. We are stewarding what he's given, what he's entrusted us with. This truth is embodied in the Bible in principles, in the principles of first fruits, all right? Now, first fruits. So we want to seek first the kingdom of God. We want to put God first. We want him in his rightful place. He's first. So every harvest with this first fruits, the Jews were required to bring the first fruits of the harvest and offer them to the Lord. You see that? Nate, give me Proverbs 3:9. Now let's look at this. Honor the Lord with your possessions. So honor means to respect and to revere. To respect and to revere. You see that? So, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Of all your increase. See, he says, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. When you operate in this function of honoring him with your first fruits, he's going to continue to increase you. You see that? And that's why he wants us to grow. He says in Ephesians 4, he says we're to not stay children, being tossed about by every wind of doctrine, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but and then he ends up, by the trickery of men in their cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting, but that you would grow up, speaking the truth in love, and that you would grow up into him. This word grow up is the Greek, those two words is the Greek word aux, A-U-X-A-N-O, A-U-X-A-N-O. And it means to augment. It means to escalate. It means to increase. You see, God wants to increase you, augment you, and his kingdom. You see that? He wants to increase you. See, what he does is you increase, you're the beneficiary. You get to manage and steward more. But it comes with responsibility. You see that? Comes with responsibility. And so you have to do it his way. Am I making sense? So, that's huge right there. So the same, listen, the same was to be done with all the first fruits of the animals, the sheep, the goats, the cattle, the tithe, 10% of our income. That's 10% of what we make. See, all we work, that's we're laboring. That, so we don't give animals and cows, and we give 10% of our wage. See that? That's what a tithe is, 10%. God can do more with your 90% than you can do with your 100%. When you give a tithe, it puts a blessing on your financial status so you can grow. That's why he says in Matthew 6, he says, no one can serve two masters. You either serve one and hate the other, or you hate the one and serve the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon was a spirit over finances, over money. And see, that's why people always have one of the greatest fears in our country is not having enough and that you're going to die. Not having enough and that you're going to die. And that's why people have such a problem with money, because they walk around with that fear all the time. And they'll do anything to get it. Am I making sense? But you see, God wants you to trust him. When you give that 10%, you break the spirit of fear off of it. You see that? You break the spirit of death off of it. You break it off, and it liberates you to be creative, and God is going to continue to bless you as you live in this life. But he's going to use our money. You see that? Because the Bible says that, what? Money is the root of some evil. All evil. All. All right. You think I'm talking about money today, don't you? But I'm not. Just a little bit. I'm talking about the kingdom. Okay, now watch. So when you have this increase, you start to increase in your discernment. You start to increase in your love. You start to increase in your grace and mercy that you give to people. You begin to increase in that. And it's like he says in Galatians, that which you sow, you will also reap. You start sowing love. You feel, I don't feel loved. You need to start look at what you're sowing. I don't feel loved and appreciated. What you've been sowing. See, that's the idea. You keep sowing love and show appreciation, even if they're cussing you out. Did you hear me? Amen. Even if they're cussing you out, you're doing the right thing. You're going to reap the heart what you're doing. Amen. This is a kingdom principle. You see that? They're going to reap the harvest of what they're doing. You see that? God, you're responsible for what you're doing. Amen. Did you get that? All right. Lordship. If he's Lord, you're going to keep serving the right thing. See, it's a privilege to serve people Christ. You see that? But you have to be trained. You know how God trained you? With other people. Cantankerous people. Difficult people. Yeah. See, when you're around those kind of people, it's hard. But you keep giving them Christ. You're developing. You see, now, you come up with your mess today with me, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you a smile. I'm going to give you Jesus. You see that? Years ago, I might have given you something else. Am I making sense? I'm just trying to help you see something. It changes you. You change. Because see, what happens is you start to have a vision. And you know what? Now the people you see that are being ornery and being negative towards you, you say, they just haven't received what I've received. They don't understand mercy and grace the way you've let me understand, Lord. So you'll say a little prayer for them. You know, there's this movie that we went and seen last night, and it's a great movie. Don't ask me the name of it, but anyways, there's this kid with autism, and he was always happy, and he enjoyed every day, and he was just happy. And, you know, he was always happy and talking, and it would get on people's last one sometimes, you know. And there was this one kid, he was like a bully. And this one kid that had autism had a brother. And his brother always stuck up for him. And so his brother one day was sticking up for him, and this kid with the autism comes home and says, his brother came home with a black eye because the bully punched him in the eye because he was making fun of his brother with autism. So he comes home with a black eye, and the kid with the autism says to his brother, he says, "Why did you do that? Why did you punch him like that? Because he was making fun of you again." And the kid with the autism says, "I've been praying for him. I feel sorry for him." And his brother looked at him like, "What is your problem?" He says, his dad has left him, and he doesn't know where his dad is, and his mom mistreats him and does all this stuff to him. So he's angry all the time." And so the kid that fought him, but the eye, he took his skateboard. He was trying to, he wrapped it up and took it to school a couple of days later after his autistic brother told him that and gave him a gift. He says, "Why are you giving this to me?" And the kid didn't understand because he was always mean. He opened it up. He said, "I want you to have it." It moved his heart. He gave a gift. You see, in real love. See, people are going through things. We don't understand what they're going through. But when we give, and it's from God, wow, it's a big deal. There's this other, it is. And it really affected that kid. And that kid changed his whole, he never bullied anymore. You got to see the movie, man. You'll be crying. I get messed up thinking about it. But anyways, it's so powerful. But that's a principle. And I remember this story. This gentleman and his two kids were on a train. And they were on this train, and his kids were acting up. And his kids were running up and down the aisles. And this man was reading his newspaper on the train. And he's reading his newspaper, and these kids running back and forth. And looking out the window and playing. And the man looks at the father of the kids. And the father was just sitting there trying to relax. And the guy that was trying to read said, can't, Can't you do something? You kid, I just want to read my newspaper. I want to read. I want to just for a minute and relax on my way home. And he said, oh, I'm sorry. They're just trying to deal with what's just happened. We've just left the funeral home and their mother has passed away. Don't you see that? And you see how he was so worried about his little space. And that's the way we can be. We can get all consumed with our little deal. And we're not being thankful. You see that? Does that make sense? And now, you see that? Look how rude that is. God wants you to be able to pick up on that and just give that person even grace and mercy there. You see that? And you know what? When you're walking in it, you will. You'll be like the kid with the autism. You're happy all the time. You see that? I'm not making fun of autism, believe me. Not one bit, never. No, uh-uh. It's just that's what was in the movie, and it was powerful. It really is a demonstration of that giving. Now watch. So, when he's Lord over everything, and his benevolence and his love is allowing us to use all that we have and to prosper in his resources. Remember, he's the source, but he gives us the resources. Now watch. Kingdom citizens should give a tithe regularly as an act of faith and worship. See, the word worship, worthship, worth. What is your God worth? All that church wants is your money. No. We want you to understand worship. Our lights are going to stay on. You see that? Nobody's going to come here and beat you over the head for money. We don't even pass plates anymore. That's all your deal. You do it. It's up to you. Do you see this? And so when you understand it, it's like you're going to give. I'm going to give. I'm worshiping the king. You see that? He's my king. But see, I hold him to it too, though. Whenever I get myself in a my tail in a crack, I'm going to, God, you said, I'm going to hold him to what he said. And every time he shows up, and I decree and declare his word over it. Am I making sense? And now his kingdom comes and it gets involved in my stuff here on earth. And he shows me. You see this? This is huge. Giving to our King is thanksgiving. Now watch this. So, his daily provision of our needs as well as our abundant blessings, giving to our King is always giving thanks. One of the best ways to express gratitude is with a gift. Look at what the word thanksgiving says. Thanksgiving. Now turn it around. Giving thanks. So when I give, I'm giving thanks to my King. See that? I'm expressing gratitude to him. I'm grateful to him. Everybody likes gratitude.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.